Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're halfway home on a Friday. Bennett Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you on a Friday. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindl. Ben Higgins. Before we get to Jordan Schusterman, my wife's still in the car, so I wanted to wish her a happy Mother's Day this Sunday. I know we're going to do a Mother's Day segment later, but I wanted to catch her while she was in the whip, dropping the kids off at school. Happy Mother's Day to the mother of my children.
A nude cruise.
You
and Hannah?
I walked in
Swingers cruise?
I walked in yesterday in the afternoon, and the bathroom door was closed, and she walked out of the bathroom stark naked. And I went, oh, Lord. Whew. 16-year-old me could see me now, and then she immediately put her clothes on. But it was a good, moment for me, and she looks phenomenal, and she's a great mother and a great partner. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We'll get into our segment, but I wanted to catch her while she was in the car. I love you. Happy Mother's Day, babe.
All right, let's go out. Joining us right now, it's Friday, which means it's a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. And joining us, presented by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue this week, it is Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue. And doesn't look like he's on a bike ride anywhere to upstate anything right now. Looks like he's just comfortable.
That's why we like Jordan.
Jordan.
Is that where Jake was last week?
Yes.
Yeah, he was on some like highway somewhere on a bike in his bike helmet.
You know, people ask us what's the difference and between Jake and Jordan, and I think you honestly, that's kind of it. Like, if you have us on one of your shows, Jake is much more likely to be on the side of the road.
He literally was.
It's honestly that simple. And I will be at this same desk. Although I'm moving soon, so it might start to look a little bit different in a little while.
All right. Let's see. Number one Jeremiah Estrada fan this week for Jordan.
First of all, if you're watching on the YouTube stream, Jordan is rocking the new City Connect Tampa Bay Rays hat.
Yeah.
It's one of the coolest hats
I've ever
seen. It looks
good. Looks really good.
That thing is so cool.
Yeah, they got the neon kind of look on the uniforms. Yeah, we had a conversation about the Padres City Connects. They were one of the first ones, obviously. What, this is the third year of the City Connects, and very cool, but also not great for people like me and Woods and the older fan necessarily in terms of the color palette on our, you know, older, not great looking bodies.
Chubby, pasty. Yeah.
Totally hear that. I will say, like, this hat, the one that I'm wearing is one of the alternate. I don't think they're actually wearing these on field at any point, but like they have so many different variations. But as far as color, aggressive colors go, this is the first one to really rival the Padres one, for better or for worse. I understand that it might necessarily not be the best for all audiences, but I love it. I will embrace something looking different, aggressively different, as much as anything else, whether they're good or bad. I'm not even that much of a uniform person to care that much, but in this case, I had to rep, even if it's kind of random. I just love these so much.
Yeah, it's pretty clean, but I love we love your headline there, number one Jeremiah Estrada fan. We are our fans.
ERA, baby.
Yeah, we're fans of his as well, and you saw him in the Cubs series in a little bit more high leverage than he was used to, and I think it was a matter of necessity, but I think it's also a matter of stuff. You know, he's got really, really good stuff, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him, getting the nod because some of the guys later in the game have faltered a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And I like to shout out some of the guys more at the bottom of the roster when I come on here. But that is someone, to your point. I mean, I think that Yeah, of course, Suarez has been spectacular. Nasty. But at the same time, the rest of this bullpen has been so fluid. There's so many different, you know, mixing and matching. And I think that Estrada, you know, you just get a little bit of adrenaline there, you know, facing the team that drafted him, I imagine. I think that was cool. And it's definitely someone that you could see. Again, the difference, because there's so many hard-throwing relievers now, and there's so many where it's like, you to differentiate them, it is just a tick better commander, a tick better execution. But Estrada has the capability to definitely work into more of those positions. Yeah, will he have a zero ERA all season? Probably not, but I'm going to enjoy it while less.
So, Jordan, your colleague Jake this week on your guys' Yahoo platform wrote about Juan Soto and really how well everything has gone so far right off the bat for Juan Soto since joining the New York Yankees. And it has been met with, here in San Diego, from what I've seen, it's bitterness. There's a lot of anger, actually, in the Padres fan base. And it's not because Juan Soto was bad with the Padres. He wasn't. He put up numbers, but they were never able to take advantage of those numbers the way the Yankees instantly seem to have clicked with Juan Soto. The click just never happened here. And I don't know, you guys talk about what is the difference. It's not as though the Padres didn't have a lot of talent, just like the Yankees do. What has been and made it work so quickly for Juan Soto in New York?
Yeah, it's interesting. And because, right, on like you said, it's, you know, as much as frustrating as 2023 was, and I'm sure there were some times when you wish Juan Soto came through, but it's like, you're really going to get mad at the guy that played 162 games and hit 35 home runs and 410
on base? Yeah, you feel bad. Like, it's not his fault, but there is a certain sense of, like, he was disappointing here.
Yeah, which is wild. But I think, if anything, it just speaks to the standard of the player that we're talking about here. And how, unfortunately, I do think that it's hard, because it's like, I understand the inclination to be bitter or roll your eyes and be like, oh, he's doing it with the Yankees and, like, everyone, like, this is what the national media wants him to be, this great with the Yankees. And it's like, all right, well, yes, that can be kind of annoying, but here he is again. He hasn't missed a game. He's putting up even more power numbers. And at some point, which you could sort of expect, you know, making that ballpark transition. And I don't know. I think it's just a matter of circumstance that we're talking about an all-time great. That is what he is. It's an all-time great. And last year was a great season and not an all-time great season. Yeah. And because of, in the context of how disappointing everything else was with the Padres, he just kind of gets lumped in with that. So I understand it. It's unfortunate that of course, you couldn't have him in San Diego for a little bit longer. But I think you just kind of have to move on and embrace what you still have, because it took a lot of crazy circumstance to get him there in the first place, and a lot of crazy circumstance to, you know, get him out of San Diego. So
talking to our pal Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue, if I know you and Jake at all, I know that tomorrow is a big day for you. And I think if you're a baseball fan, it's a big day for everyone. Everyone's excited to watch Paul Skeens pitch. I am very excited. I'm a big Livy Dunn fan as well. So I'm very, very interested to see what this kid can do. He has he's a different guy. I mean, I remember the story about when he was in college, him walking up to his own teammates going, I outwork you. I outwork you. I mean, it's just, he's got the thing, you know, the it factor. You couple that with a big frame, nasty velocity, exploding breaking stuff, everything that you could dream of, if you could draw it up. How do you think this is going to go for him, man?
Yeah, it's really exciting. And Jake's going to be there. He's making the trip. He'll be flying to Pittsburgh tomorrow. So he'll be in attendance for that. And, you know, I got to see Skeens last week in Indianapolis in what turned out to be his penultimate AAA start. And I had kind of sensed that that was the case. In fact, when I went there, I was basically the only media member, because no one was still thinking he was going to be there in Indianapolis at that point. But really what it seems like the Pirates are prioritizing is building him up in a workload in a way that they can kind of let him loose now for the rest of the season. We've seen so many young pitchers come up recently where you kind of have to put the reins on and hold them back as the season goes on, because you want to be careful with the innings and you want to be careful with the workload. They seem to have built it up now where they feel like now it's go time, and we feel comfortable with him going on regular MLB rest. But as you said, everyone should be excited. And I do think while we've had a lot of, I talked about this on the podcast we recorded this morning, I think that a pitcher debuting is significantly different than a hitter debuting. Not that it's not exciting to see top prospects come up, and regardless of what happens after the fact, as we've seen in the negative way with Jackson Holliday, as we've seen in a positive way with someone like Jackson Merrill, right? I mean, what he's meant to the Padres. But a start and for a pitcher with this kind of stuff, to look forward to what that looks like against big leaguers and see him strike out big league hitters and not AAA guys we've never heard of, you know, like it's a big difference and it's a big jump up. And I can't wait to see what kind of adjustments he's going to be making, because he's going to have to make some. He's not going to be this. I mean, there's a chance he's going to be this dominant right away, but I would bet, you know, slightly against it. But I'm excited to see what tomorrow and then for the rest of the season.
Talking with Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue. And Jordan, you wrote this week about Corbin Carroll's early season struggles and now emerging from them. And the Diamondbacks have won, I think, 4 in a row, just swept the Cincinnati Reds. A lot of guys have gotten off to slow starts this year. It is possible to break out of those slow starts. Maybe you can write about Xander Bogaerts here coming up, because he is quite as bad of a start as Corbin Carroll. And we're trying. He looks like he's in the absolute torture chamber right now and lost his confidence. He's giving quotes like he's lost right now. And
it's great
for someone who's making $285 million over the next 11 years. It's pretty troubling as Padres fans seeing what's happening to Xander Bogaerts right now. Your thoughts?
It's so staggering. And I do need to dig in. I remember doing a little bit of this last year. But last year, while it was disappointing, he was not bad.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
He was a great. He was a good hitter.
Great start. Know? Great finish.
Other than when the wrist was bothering him, he was pretty solid all year.
Right. I remember he had that stretch, and we're wondering, oh, is that hampering the power or whatever? Played 155 games. You know, 119 OPS plus. Great. A good player. I mean, is that a good player that franchise $30 million a year? Maybe not, but that's a good player. He, again, not the problem.
We take that right now. Instantly,
in a heartbeat.
Like, that would be a dream if he would get to 119 OPS plus.
So would he. Yeah, exactly.
He would, too. He would absolutely love to be back, you know, at a 790 OPS. Sounds like a dream. So, yeah, I don't know. I would love to do, maybe in a couple of weeks I can come back on here and see if I can figure it out. Hopefully he's heated up by then. But I think what's so shocking about that one, and, you know, this is different from a guy like Carroll, but there have been some examples of this with some of the hitters. I think, honestly, Bo Bichette is maybe a better comparison in terms of what's going on this year with how bad he's been. Whereas it's like, how does it go? Like, this is someone with a track record,
man,
with not just a track record of consistency of like the same thing every year, right? Not just the high end. Oh, my gosh, he's one of the best players in baseball. But like, you knew what you were getting, right? And that's what I think is troubling. And even, you know, even the people that said this is a crazy contract, which that's fine. That's a reasonable take of the time. That was about, you know, years 6 through 11 when he's no longer playing shortstop and no longer doing it. It's like, okay, well, now he's already not playing shortstop and now he's also not hit. Like, that's what's concerning, right?
No doubt.
So I, you know, is he doomed? No, but it's weird. I haven't watched him close enough to say definitively, but it is definitely one that I'm going to have to start looking at closer, because again, like a lot of these other guys, you know, like Tatis having an awesome year, you know, Manny, I think we'll see as he starts kind of getting more fully healthy. I think we're a little bit more encouraged there. You've gotten incredible production from, of course, Profar and guys like Cronenworth. So there is still a lot going pretty well in this offense, and Bogaerts is now the clear weak link.
Yeah, and which is crazy. You know, it's crazy. If you watched him in Boston, and I know you did, I mean, just such a gap-to-gap guy. And to watch now, you know, just kind of weak, soft contact, ass-out swings, and taking 3-1 cookies the other day against the Cubs, it's clearly in his dome. You know, and I think that's the hardest part. Like, if it was his wrist, it's okay. Well, we'll get the shot and we'll rest and then we'll come back stronger than ever, like he did last year. But when it's in somebody's dome, right now, and they've just forgotten and are terrified to go up to the plate, it's not great. It's just not a great feeling.
Yeah. And just as you said, it's the weak contact, right? It's not like the strikeouts have ballooned.
Right. Strikeouts have been fine.
A little bit less, but he's just not doing any damage. He's not chasing. It's not like he's suddenly looking lost and just like it's just like a sap. Just everything is just like sap, right?
Yeah.
It's just like he's nothing. There's no juice there. And
correct.
That's why it's hard not to think about it as maybe still injury related, but you kind of got to trust the player. I mean, I think, I know it doesn't really help, but he is very, I think the honesty from him is, I appreciate that, right? Like he knows he's going through it and he's, it's not like he's necessarily hiding from it.
He's not.
But at some point, you know, you got to produce, and he's someone they really need to produce.
We've got the Shohei show coming to Petco Park for the first time this weekend. He has been. Is it possible he could have exceeded expectations?
Impossibly high expectations. I think yes. Now I think the basic premise of what happens when Ohtani only focuses on hitting? He's going to become even better. Like. Yeah, pretty much. that's pretty much.
Do you think
what
that's
has
it? I was going to ask you that has been kind of going around that now that he's not worried about pitching for the time being because he's recovering from the surgery, that he's really been able to finally dedicate himself to the craft of hitting, and now we're really seeing what he can do. That's insane. That's insane.
Well, it's truly a product of there are only so many hours in a day,
right?
And if you talk to people that have been around Shohei Ohtani and have been teammates with him. It is that he is preparing physically, mentally, scouting, watching like that. He, in order to do the two ways, the both at once, he has to be doing that all the time. And now he really only has to do one.
Jordan,
right?
And so doesn't he sleep 12 hours a day or something ridiculous as well? So really, he only has 12 hours to prepare.
Right. No, it's true. That's a great
true.
This is not someone waking up at the crack of dawn.
Right.
He's getting his sleep. But you know that when he's at the ballpark, boy, is he, you know, getting the most out of that preparation.
So I was on a text thread with my friend, and the idea was brought up. They've got the Dodgers have him for the next 10 years. That maybe like crop rotation, like every third year you let him sit fallow and not pitch.
Yes,
like every third year to keep him reset. Some sort of, you know, to keep your fields producing that you have to you draw him back every couple of years.
Not
or
the
something.
Worst idea. It's really not.
Listen, like that is, and I know if you're a Padres fan, listen to this, you're like, God, this is the worst. But it's like, this is the miracle of this guy, right? I mean, think about where this began with his major league career.
Yeah.
Where everyone watched him in spring training and being like, this is a joke. Get on the mound, dude.
Terrible.
We don't want to watch you try and hit
nobody,
anymore.
He can't hit.
And now I'm like, maybe you should just relieve. Like the Dodgers are going to have plenty of pitchers. Like, can we just want you hit 16 home runs? Because that's pretty fun. Like, I'm enjoying this.
We're not. We're not at all. But, you know, Elisa did with the line of the day in the chat. She said, well, we know he doesn't waste any time looking at his finances. So that's one
it's
thing
true.
He's not
it's
focused
accurate.
On, his bank
it's,
account.
It's absolutely that's a fact. It's a great joke
it's
and
a brilliant
an actual
joke.
Statement. So I have no notes there.
You're the best, dude. Thanks so much for popping on. Have a great weekend. And tell Jake we said hi. And can't
if
wait
we can
to
find
see,
him on the roads of upstate New York. Yeah.
Don't even bother. Hopefully he's there at Skeens Day tomorrow. I don't know how he's getting there, but you
probably
know, we'll
by. Bye.
Thank you guys. Yeah. Always fun.
Thank you,
thanks,
brother.
Jordan Schusterman, Cespedes Family Barbecue. Their weekly appearance is brought to you by our friends at Grand Ole Barbecue, Flint Springs, North Park, and at the ballpark. I may enjoy some tonight, actually, if the line isn't too long. You always have to battle, you know, you have to plan when you go to the ballpark
and
early.
And especially for Grand Ole. Like, I get there and I get it before I take the kids to Gallagher and I eat my pulled pork sandwich as they play.
I did Spiro's last week. It was really good. But I need to rotate around and hit them all, obviously.
Of course.
So, thanks to Jordan Schusterman. All right, we'll come back. It is Mother's Day coming up this Sunday.
Yes.
So, I want to get some Mother's Day wishes out there to all of our family members. And then we've got our Rhino Report and Mike Schilt at the top of the hour on a Friar Friday with the Manager's Report. All ahead with Bennett Woods after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just thanks again to Jordan Schusterman from Cespedes Family Barbecue. I asked that question about Juan Soto, and do feel like
he got killed.
Again. I do feel like people are
they're mad.
Are maybe somewhat unaware of how much animosity there is in the Padres fan base. I was in a thread with Emily Nyman this week. She had commented about, she's a Yankees fan. Great. Been a guest of the program before. She said it's like the greatest thing, having Juan Soto on your team. I can't imagine this feeling could be any better. And I just commented and I go, Padres fans, anyone out there? And my timeline for the next day was just filled with venom toward Juan Soto. It's like people have seriously issues still that they have not worked out over Juan Soto's time with the San Diego Padres. And again, to be fair, Juan Soto played in every game last year. His numbers were outstanding. He was the best player on the Padres. You're mad that the Padres had a bad season and Juan Soto's contributions didn't turn into winning. But as the Yankees are showing, it's not Juan Soto's fault. He's not like
It turned into more winning than we've seen here in a long time, though. I mean, I know last year was that awful year, but it wasn't his fault, right?
As the Yankees are showing, Juan Soto's not some cancer that just you put him on the team and everyone else falls apart instantly. That's not guaranteed to happen. And it hasn't happened in New York. At least it hasn't happened yet. And I refuse to subscribe to the theory that the problem with the Padres was Juan Soto. And the solution this year, and they're playing definitely better, is not the absence of Juan Soto.
Yeah.
Jake Cronenworth didn't start hitting because Juan Soto was gone.
Right.
That's just not the case. It's one is not related to the other. The Padres would be better if you could just magically put Juan Soto back on this team. There are people who would think you'd ruin all the good chemistry if you brought Juan Soto back. No, if you could put him back on this team, but keep, you know, Dylan Cease.
Yeah, yeah.
Who you, by the way, part of that Juan Soto trade was getting Drew Thorpe, which you then helped turn into Dylan Cease. So if you could keep those guys, but also add Juan Soto, guess what? Padres would be better.
I mean, all that AJ would have maybe had to do is just up the prospect capital to go get Dylan Cease.
Sure, yeah. It's totally possible. Exactly right, because they were going to get rid of him. But yeah, man, it's water under the bridge as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, hey, listen, the Yankees may only have him for a year as well. He may be a Met next year. I would imagine quite the bidding war, especially if he keeps hitting like this in New York. So, yeah, it's listen, I understand sour grapes, and you always hate to see somebody go somewhere and do, in your opinion, what you feel a little bit better. But there were people in this fan base that never liked him from the day he got here, and that's okay. You know, that's okay. You don't have to love them all. It is what it is.
But it's, I think we all, you need to come to grips at some point. And
it was a math problem. It was a math issue. That was the problem. Because if they could have kept him, they would have. Straight up. So, it wasn't like, oh, thank God we got rid of him.
I mean, it's a bummer because when that trade happened in July of, what was it, 22? We were told 2.5 years, like 3 runs. And we had him for 2.
Yeah.
And one of them didn't really turn into a run.
One of them was awful.
Yeah. First one was great.
Yeah, first one was awesome.
Some big hits in that postseason.
Yeah.
And had they gone on a run again last year, my guess is they would have been less forced to maybe retrench the payroll. Peter Seidler was still going to pass away. You're still losing the TV deal. I don't know. Maybe they could have won the World Series, and they still would have had to trade Juan Soto this offseason. That's an interesting hindsight question. Maybe even A.J. Preller doesn't know the answer to that 100%.
Petey says, Ben, don't tell me how to live my life with a smiley face. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Everyone have plans for Mother's Day out there this weekend? We're We're going to brunch with Shelley and the family. My mother is still in France.
Beautiful.
Enjoying a trip this week with my dad on the Seine River. I got pictures from the beaches of Normandy yesterday where they were, you know, somber and seeing
the memorial. You don't celebrate at that beach.
Yes.
The beaches of Normandy.
Okay.
Just for the record, it's not, you're not there popping bottles.
No.
At Normandy.
No.
It's a memorial.
Perpetual Memorial Day when you're at the Omaha Beach.
If you ever do make it over there, just remember, keep your shirt on. Keep your shirt on. Tell Megan to keep her top on.
It's not a nude cruise of the beaches of Normandy. Sorry, no.
Yeah, we're doing brunch and then going to my mother-in-law's to swim, which again, I told you, going to be very uncomfortable taking my shirt off. I need a jersey, a Carl Anthony
clothing
Towns
optional.
Jersey. No, I'm going to wear my shorts, but I'm just going to get in the water and stay up to my neck. I'm so
oversized t-shirt.
I'm so creamy white that it's just not fun. Like, I don't really like stripping down, you know? So we're doing that. How did the gifts go? Did you get your mom something?
I did.
I have not, but she, again, is out of the country at the moment, so I don't feel like the immediate pressure to do anything.
So like, is she going to come home to a nice card?
Well, no, she'll be late. It's over at that point, right?
So there's no celebrating once it's
you're
done.
On the hook.
Jesus. He's like, Mom, travel every year.
Yeah, perfect.
On Mother's Day.
Perfect.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my mother, Marcia. We are three of the luckiest guys in the world that all of our mothers are absolute angels.
Yes.
I mean, every single one of them are angels.
Look who they had to put up with.
100%. I mean, Kim actually got off the hook pretty easily, but But my wife, we're gonna swim and eat brunch and hang out and do all that stuff and celebrate. Mom, she's going to the spa again today. Hopefully she makes it through this time without leaving on a stretcher like she did last time.
That's right.
Hopefully that goes better for her today.
She just relaxed too hard.
So much relaxing. So, yeah, I'm going to get the kids today and keep them out of her hair. That's really the goal if you have kids. Keep them away from the mother of them. That's really what every mother wants. Take those kids that I birthed and I'm their mother, get them as far away from me as you can get them. And that's,
I want to be
really
able to pretend I am not a mother.
Correct.
For one day.
For
Mother's
a weekend.
Day, please.
For a weekend. And that's really, and it's counterintuitive, but
should
that's
be,
actually.
Forget you're a Mother's Day is what really it should be, right?
That's actually what they want is to just, I don't want to see you or them for 72 hours. And I feel like.
There's 364 Mother's Days, and there's one, forget you're a Mother's Day.
Correct.
And enjoy yourself for
correct.
A day.
Yeah, Kiki asked what happened to her. We don't know. She was dehydrated. She was not drinking alcohol or anything like that, but she passed out, and it was really scary.
Overly massaged.
Yeah, too many massages that day. And
crushed by hot stone treatments.
And I think it was the heat and, you know, her diet, and she had run like 6 miles that morning, and she just zonked out, so they actually had to take her out. So hopefully, again, she makes it through today at the spa where she definitely deserves to be.
Happy Mother's Day to my mom, Julie. She's watching on YouTube right now.
Julie, and,
sweet
angel.
I'm pretty sure my mother-in-law is also watching on YouTube
another
right now.
Another sweet angel.
Thank you both for putting up with me. And Mom, your gift is on the way. Can't tell you what it is because, well, it's not Mother's Day just yet.
That's right.
Sunday.
Did you get a 2-for-1 on the mouth harp?
Oh yeah,
and send her one too.
This makes a great Mother's Day.
I would think
gear.
So. This is what mothers really would like. No,
God, you're getting good at that.
Yeah. Really
no, I did
good.
Not get a 2-for-1 on the harp. And then, so yeah, Sunday we're going to get breakfast with my mother-in-law, and then we're taking her to her favorite place, the casino.
Love it.
Go walk around, play some slots.
So
hang out.
We're and a shout out too to my mother-in-law Susie. Who is awesome. She's just awesome. The best mother-in-law you could ask for. Hopefully she's listening this morning too. But yeah, we are going to invade your home on Sunday and swim, and my kids are going to tear it in half as they always do. So we love all of the moms out there. We know how hard you work. We really appreciate you. And, you guys are incredible. Thank you.
All right. We got Mike Schilt coming up in 30 minutes. Do not go anywhere on a Friar Friday. First up though, Paulie. Going to give us some headlines on the Rindle Report. That is next with Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
I just remembered. We got the skipper coming up in 20 minutes, man. Been such a fun show, loose show.
I did just mention it.
You did. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, that's all right.
I did not listen.
What are we going to ask him about? Get some questions prepared.
I got to go to my...
his thoughts on the trade.
Yeah, that's true. We last time we talked to him, the news was going to break, what?
That night.
Later Friday that night. Evening
was
on
that
Friday.
Just a week
Week ago, Luis Arraez was happily or not so happily a member of the Miami Marlins a week ago. And now he is a week into his San Diego Padres tenure.
So, yeah, get to ask him about that. And also want to ask him about Jerkson. Excuse me, Profar, and that whole scene that went down in Chicago.
I mean,
ask it that way.
Yeah. Curious, hey, like, how are you going to pitch Shohei Ohtani this series? You can't answer
that crap. He's
can't
not
answer those questions. Can't share strategies like that.
No.
Like, what do you do, though?
Well, we're going to start him with an 0-1 fastball.
I mean, look, Mike Schilt doesn't know how to get Shohei Ohtani out. Nobody does right now. So, I mean, it's literally Chuck and Duck, I feel, with the top three, maybe four, maybe five in their lineup. You throw it and you hope for the best. You hope they miss it. You hope they roll over something. You know, you hope Shohei chases something. You hope Mookie doesn't lead off with a home run. I mean, there's a lot of hope in baseball for the starting pitcher. For the manager, and it's hope. Like, I hope Michael King comes out tonight and is able to locate, and something's moving really well for him, and he's disguising the ball very well.
We've seen it a few of his starts.
100%. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you can be the most prepared in the world, and you can have the exact plan of how to attack the Dodgers lineup, and Mookie gets a double, and, you know, Freddie hits a double, and you're like, plans out the window.
And you didn't necessarily make a mistake.
100%.
They hit non-mistakes 100%. As well.
And so can we. You know, so can we. So I think, I really do think there's just a lot of hope in it. Pitch my game, and if they get me, they get me. And I think that's the attitude you have to have, especially against a lineup like that.
All right, we're going to check traffic. Paulie's got some headlines on the other side with the Rindle Report. Don't go anywhere. It's Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday,
Happy
Paul.
Friday.
It is the Rindle Report brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League.
Yeah,
the Frozen
buddy.
Ropes is now registering ballplayers age 6 through 12. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com for more information.
Got Bo all signed up yesterday.
Yes.
Super stoked.
Love
man.
It.
Super stoked.
All right, gentlemen, let's start out. How about we have not talked a ton about the Stanley Cup playoffs, but in the NHL last night, two games, the Dallas Stars here in Dallas beat the Avalanche 5-3. That series is tied, second round of the Western Conference. And then over on the East, this game went to overtime, but the Rangers did win 3-2 over the Hurricanes. And
they gave up the late goal to force overtime, one of those usual... Oh, they're on the road. You're going to lose that kind of game.
Yeah.
But they came back and won it anyway.
Now, if you haven't been following very closely, they lead 3-0 in that series. The New York Rangers do. They haven't lost yet in the playoffs. They are 7-0 looking to close out the Hurricanes. I believe they play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So I saw an amazing stat that I did not realize. That any team that has started the Stanley Cup playoffs 7-0, so sweep, and then three more wins. They have all gone on to win the Stanley Cup.
No.
Every single one of them that has started 7-0 has gone on to win the Cup. But there's also the jinx, the President's Trophy jinx. The team that has the best regular season record wins the President's Trophy, and they, like, never win the Stanley Cup. And the Rangers were the President's Trophy winners. So they've got the opposing stats now going for and against them.
Which one will prevail?
I don't know.
I mean,
one of them has to end up being wrong, though.
Well, it's not that no one that's won the President's Cup. They have.
They have. It's just been a long time.
It's just been a long time and rare.
But no one has ever not won the Stanley Cup after starting 7-0. What a fun time. I mean,
that's really cool. That's
New York sports fans have been in a kind of a torture chamber for a while. I mean, even the Yankees had been 15 years terrible. Since they've been really good. Mets have been in a blender. Knicks were terrible for a while. Their hockey teams have been bad. Now you got the Knicks in an entertaining postseason, and they're playing really well. The Rangers are playing well. You know, everyone's delighted about Juan Soto and the Yankees at the moment. It's a good time again to be a New York sports fan.
Yeah.
Even the Mets are 500.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to the NBA. We briefly discussed the NBA playoffs already. In case you missed it, the Cavaliers absolutely wiped the floor with the Celtics last night, 118-94. The Mavericks tied their series up with the Thunder, 119-110, beating Oklahoma City yesterday. But in the NBA, we talked about Patrick Beverley earlier this week. He was on Don't Do This for firing a basketball at fans in the second row there, and then they tossed the ball back at him. He threw it even harder and hit a woman in the head. It was not good.
I saw they opened a police investigation into that.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much to investigate. It's right there on...
Very clear.
Right there on video.
Hit her hard. Yeah. And obviously a suspension was coming, and that was announced yesterday. Patrick Beverley will be suspended for 4 games without pay to start next season. And I think he's a free agent, so whatever team signs him, you will not have him for the first 4
games.
Not
the greatest selling point for his agent at the moment, no. For sure.
No.
You need to get him for 78 of the 82. And we're also going to need to load manage a little bit. So enjoy for about 69 games next year, max.
If you're going to watch any basketball tonight, we do have a ESPN doubleheader, 4 o'clock, Pacers hosting the Knicks. New York has a 2-0 series lead in that one. And then the Timberwolves will host the Nuggets. Minnesota has a 2-0 series lead. They took 2 in Denver, so now they got the series back home.
Absolute must win for the Nuggets if they want to keep their championship hopes alive. You go down 3-0,
MVP Jokic.
And you've already lost 2 at home. Yeah, there's no coming back from that.
Nope.
So.
And then finally, my story just went away. Let me pull it right back up. One of the worst things that can happen, most annoying things that can happen. You guys ever lose a debit card or something? Lose your wallet?
Thought I did yesterday.
I went to lunch last week and with my son, and I left it in the little folder sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked out, and we were pulling out, and I saw the hostess that was at the restaurant running out and like, oh,
save your ass,
so
man.
Much. You saved me. I wouldn't have known where it was. Would have had to go back later. And that was a really nice maneuver.
Dude, in today's day and age, with everything connected to Apple Pay or whatever, electronic payments like debit card or credit card or whatever, like you have to resubscribe to everything, update your payment information on everything. It's horrible. And I got a story here from a woman in North Carolina named Rhonda. She went to a restaurant called Smith's Cafe, and she left her credit card behind. It happens. She realized it. She went back to pick it up, and there was a big problem. One of the employees at the cafe spotted the card and wanted to help retrieve, you know, get it back to its owner. So in an effort to find Rhonda, the employee took pictures of the front and back of the card. Posted it on a Facebook group for their small town. They did not edit the photo at all. They didn't censor or block out anything. All of the information was clearly visible.
And they were trying to do something nice.
The post says, "Hey guys, Mrs. Rhonda Deaver, you left your card here at the store. If you know her, let her know that we have it.
Yeah.
We would love to make sure it's returned.
Is this you? Is this your number? Is this your 3-digit security code?"
It even wrote in the post on Facebook, "We've placed it in a secure location." Well,
not really.
Not really.
It's actually the least secure location. If you had just thrown it in a drawer and I would have remembered and I could have come back and checked, that would have been better.
It doesn't say how long the post was up, but it was long enough that people started using her credit card and there were over $2,000 in charges. She had to close the bank account immediately. All of the charges were declined. She's got to go through that whole process of fraud and getting the money back and then got to get a new card.
Getting a new card is the biggest nightmare.
It's the worst.
They always make it sound so simple. I I see a charge I don't recognize on my account. Sure. Or they call you and they go, did you just charge $278 at a Walmart in New Orleans, Louisiana? And
bro,
I go,
wasn't me.
I hate it when
I did not do that. Okay, no worries. You're not responsible for that, sir. We're going to cancel the card and we're going to send you out a new one. You should have it in the next 17 to 20 business days, which is, of course, like it's a month.
Do you guys usually call your bank before you go out of town? Like, let them know, hey,
they can,
I'm going to
spring training.
I can do
it on my app now sometimes. They can say, like, travel advisory.
Because I'll get calls like, hey, are you in Las Vegas? Because there was a big charge. I'm like, yeah, that's me. It's all good. It's okay.
Yeah. The thing I don't like is when they immediately reject the order. Like, if you're in Vegas or something and you swipe for dinner and then they, your card was rejected.
Like, what?
You go to your phone, you see the notification. You're like, hang on. Yes, this was me, moron. And then you send it back and run it again. It's a terrifying feeling.
I mean, dude, I even hate it. I'm looking at my card right now. Mine expires January of 26th. And that means, like, I'm going to have to get a new card. Like, every 3 years or whatever, your card expires. You're like,
all the stuff that's attached to it.
You still have to do the same thing as if you lost it. You're like, oh, my God.
Have either of you ever experienced where you went to, like, a restaurant for a meal, and for whatever reason at the end, you were unable to pay for the meal?
Like
you... Your card was declined unexpectedly and you didn't have any cash. You were unable to pay for the meal.
Why would I go to dinner if I couldn't pay?
Well, no. You thought you were good.
I was like overdrawn or something.
Yeah, or whatever. Or just for no reason whatsoever, the card just isn't working and you don't have any other means to pay for it. Nowadays, there's like apps and stuff. It'd be hard not to.
Yeah, but you could Apple Pay.
At least when we were growing up, you know, you didn't realize, I thought I had $40 in cash and now I only have 20. I don't have enough to cover this. That ever happened to you?
Never.
Never. No. I don't think it's happened to me either.
Now, the old go wash dishes.
Yeah, the
bit.
Old TV show bit. I'm going to go wash dishes, Ben.
If I could go to a nice restaurant and eat dinner, I'd wash dishes so that I didn't have to pay.
Oh, for sure. For what nice restaurants cost nowadays?
I love this job. This is my favorite job I've ever had. My second favorite job might have been washing dishes in a restaurant. I had the time of my life. Truly. No one bothered me. I had the music cranked.
Back of the house staff.
Back of the
usually
house.
Pretty good crew.
Cranked as crazy. Loud as it could go. And I just mechanical. I was 17 years old or whatever. Like, it wasn't the worst gig I ever had.
Now, were you just kind of rinsing them and putting them in a dishwasher?
Yeah,
or did you have to, like,
you
clean
had to get
them
the
completely?
Stuff off them,
yeah.
Throw them in the thing, slide it in. No. And they start to pile up and you start jamming the ramp. You'd spray the ramekin and it would splash up and hit you in the face. That was not my favorite, but.
Did you ever eat food off a plate?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
100%.
Yeah. Uneaten food sure from an unknown restaurant diner.
Not unknown. Well, from the diner, yeah. Yeah.
From the dining room.
Not an unknown restaurant.
No, but from the, they could have done anything to that plate.
I'm working at a restaurant and, like, bringing some dishes back to the dishwashing area.
Yeah,
and, like, guy would just pick something right off the plate and start eating. I'm like,
Well, what do you think they're doing? They're not sprinkling pubic hair on it or something. Hey, I'm going to send this back. Let me get it.
It's still gross.
But don't you wonder why they didn't eat it? Was something wrong with it?
He's full.
Most of the time, but every once in a while, it's like, I didn't eat this because there was something gross about it. Or there was something.
It was a nice restaurant.
I accidentally put sugar instead of salt on it when I was.
No, it was a nice restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like a fine dining establishment.
Right.
A steak or something. Like, that's good. A piece of bread. Piece of bread untouched. You know, on the plate, you're like, I'll eat that. Starving.
Did you get to have, like, it was a nice restaurant? So did you get, like, family meal beforehand?
You get the discount, you get those shift meal, and most importantly, illegal shift cocktails and all of that. And there's girls there. It was not the worst gig of my life. I didn't make a lot of money.
What was this place called?
Cafe di Roma.
Cafe di Roma. Italian or?
Di Roma, yes. Cafe di Roma. Mm-hmm. Fine dining. I eventually worked my way up to waiter, where I did not know what I was doing. Dropped trays and pushed corks down in very expensive bottles of wine. That was not my favorite.
Oh, the worst.
All right. We got the manager, Mike Schilt, joining us next on a Friar Friday. The manager's report. The Dodgers are in town. Should be a good conversation. Do not go anywhere. One more hour of Ben and Woods left.
I know exactly where to start.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Good. Skipper. I just remembered, we got the Skipper coming up in 20 minutes, man. It's been such a fun show, loose show.
I did just mention it.
You did? I wasn't listening.
Yeah, that's all right.
I did not listen.
What are we going to ask him about? Get some questions prepared.
I got to go to my
His thoughts on the trade.
Yeah, that's true. We last time we talked to him, the news was going to break, what?
That night.
Later Friday evening.
Was that
Friday?
Just a week
ago? 1 week ago. Luis Arraez was happily or not so happily a member of the Miami Marlins a week ago. And now he is a week into his San Diego Padres tenure.
So, yeah, get to ask him about that. And also want to ask him about Jerkson, excuse me, Profar and that whole scene that went down in Chicago.
I mean,
ask it that way.
Yeah. Curious, hey, like, Mike, how are you going to pitch Shohei Ohtani this series? You can't answer
that crap. He's not
can't
gonna,
answer
he's
those not questions. Answer. Can't share strategies like that.
No.
I am. Like, what do you do, though?
Well, we're going to start him with an 0-1 fastball.
I don't, you don't, I mean, look, Mike Schilt doesn't know how to get Shohei Ohtani up. Nobody does right now. So, I mean, it's literally Chuck and Duck, I feel, with the top three, maybe four, maybe five in their lineup. You throw it and you hope for the best. You hope they miss it. You hope they roll over something. You know, you hope Shohei chases something. You hope Mookie doesn't lead off with a home run. I mean, there's a lot of hope in baseball for the starting pitcher, for the manager, and it's hope. Like, I hope Michael King comes out tonight and is able to locate, and something's moving really well for him, and he's disguising the ball very well.
We've seen it a few of his starts.
100%. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you can be the most prepared in the world, and you can have the exact plan of how to attack the Dodgers lineup, and Mookie gets a double, and, you know, Freddie hits a double, and you're like, plans out the window. I'm going to...
And you didn't necessarily make a mistake.
100%.
They hit non-mistakes 100%. As well.
100%. And so can we. You know, so can we. So I really do think there's just a lot of hope in it. Pitch my game, and if they get me, they get me. And I think that's the attitude you have to have, especially against a lineup like that.
All right, we're going to check traffic. Paulie's got some headlines on the other side with the Rindel Report. Don't go anywhere. It's Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindel Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindel Report. With Paul Rindel.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindel Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a yeah? Oh, yeah.
All right. Happy Friday, everybody.
Happy Friday,
Happy
Paul.
Friday.
It is the Rindel Report brought to you by the Frozen Ropes Summer Baseball League.
Yeah,
the Frozen
buddy.
Ropes is now registering ballplayers age 6 through 12. Go to sandiegofrozenropes.com for more information.
Got Bo all signed up yesterday.
Yes.
Super stoked.
Love
man.
It.
Super stoked.
All right, gentlemen, let's start out. How about we have not talked a ton about the Stanley Cup playoffs, but in the NHL last night, two games, the Dallas Stars here in Dallas beat the Avalanche 5-3. That series is tied, second round of the Western Conference. And then over on the East, this game went to overtime, but the Rangers did win 3-2 over the Hurricanes. And
they gave up the late goal to force overtime, one of those usual... Oh, they're on the road. You're going to lose that kind of game.
Yeah.
But they came back and won it anyway.
Now, if you haven't been following very closely, they lead 3-0 in that series. The New York Rangers do. They haven't lost yet in the playoffs. They are 7-0 looking to close out the Hurricanes. I believe they play tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So I saw an amazing stat that I did not realize. That any team that has started the Stanley Cup playoffs 7-0, so... sweep, and then three more wins. They have all gone on to win the Stanley Cup.
No.
Every single one of them that has started 7-0 has gone on to win the Cup. But there's also the jinx, the President's Trophy jinx. The team that has the best regular season record wins the President's Trophy, and they, like, never win the Stanley Cup. And the Rangers were the President's Trophy winners, so they've got the opposing stats now going for and against them.
Which one will prevail?
I don't know.
I mean,
one of them has to end up being wrong, though.
Well, it's not that no one that's won the President's Cup. They have.
It's just been a long time
and rare.
But no one has ever not won the Stanley Cup after starting 7-0. What a fun time. I mean,
that's really cool. That's
New York sports fans have been in a kind of a torture chamber for a while.
Bit of a blender.
Even the Yankees had been 15 years since they've been really good. Mets have been in a blender. Knicks were terrible for a while. Their hockey teams have been bad. Now you got the Knicks in an entertaining postseason, and they're playing really well. The Rangers are playing well. You know, everyone's delighted about Juan Soto and the Yankees at the moment. It's a good time again to be a New York sports fan.
Yeah.
Even the Mets are 500.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move on to the NBA. We briefly discussed the NBA playoffs already. In case you missed it, the Cavaliers absolutely wiped the floor with the Celtics last night. 118-94. The Mavericks tied their series up with the Thunder, 119-110, beating Oklahoma City yesterday. But in the NBA, we talked about Patrick Beverley earlier this week. He was on Don't Do This for firing a basketball at fans in the second row there, and then they tossed the ball back at him. He threw it even harder and hit a woman in the head. It was not good.
I saw they opened a police investigation into that.
They did.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not much to investigate. It's right there on...
Very clear.
Right there on video.
Hit her hard. Yeah. And obviously a suspension was coming, and that was announced yesterday. Patrick Beverley will be suspended for 4 games without pay to start next season. And I think he's a free agent, so whatever team signs him, you will not have him for the first 4 games.
Not the greatest selling point for his agent at the moment, no, for sure.
No.
You need to get him for 78 of the 82. And we're also going to need to load manage a little bit. So enjoy him for about 69 games next year, max.
If you're going to watch any basketball tonight, we do have a ESPN doubleheader, 4 o'clock, Pacers hosting the Knicks. New York has a 2-0 series lead in that one, and then the Timberwolves will host the Nuggets. Minnesota has a 2-0 series lead. They took 2 in Denver, so now they got the series back home.
Absolute must-win for the Nuggets if they want to keep their championship hopes alive. You go down 3-0,
MVP Jokic,
and you've already lost 2 at home. Yeah, there's no coming back from that.
Nope.
So.
And then finally, my story just went away. Let me pull it right back up. One of the worst things that can happen, most annoying things that can happen. You guys ever lose a debit card or something? Lose your wallet?
I thought I did yesterday.
I went to lunch last week and with my son, and I left it in the little folder sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked out, and we were pulling out, and I saw the hostess that was at the restaurant running out and like, oh,
saved
your
ass
so much. You saved me. I wouldn't have known where it was. Would have had to go back later. And that was a really nice maneuver.
Dude, in today's day and age, with everything connected to Apple Pay or whatever, electronic payments like debit card or credit card or whatever, like you have to resubscribe to everything, update your payment information on everything. It's horrible. And I got a story here from a woman in North Carolina named Rhonda. She went to a restaurant called Smith's Cafe, and she left her credit card behind. It happens. She realized it. She went back to pick it up, and there was a big problem. One of the employees at the cafe spotted the card and wanted to help retrieve, you know, get it back to its owner. So in an effort to find Rhonda, the employee took pictures of the front and back of the card. Posted it on a Facebook group for their small town. They did not edit the photo at all. They didn't censor or block out anything. All of the information was clearly visible.
And they were trying to do something nice.
Yeah. The post says, "Hey guys, Mrs. Rhonda Deaver, you left your card here at the store. If you know her, let her know that we have it.
Yeah.
We would love to make sure it's returned.
Is this you? Is this your number? Is this your 3-digit security code?"
They even wrote in the post on Facebook, "We've placed it in a secure location." Well,
not really.
Not really.
It's actually the least secure location. If you had just thrown it in a drawer and I would have remembered and I could have come back and checked, that would have been better.
It doesn't say how long the post was up, but it was long enough that people started using her credit card and there were over $2,000 in charges.
Oh my God.
She had to close the bank account immediately. All of the charges were declined. She's got to go through that whole process of fraud and getting the money back and then got to get a new card.
Getting a new card is the biggest nightmare.
It's the worst.
They always make it sound so simple. I see a charge I don't recognize on my account.
Sure.
Or they call you and they go, "Did you just charge $278 at a Walmart in New Orleans, Louisiana?"
Hey,
and
bro,
I go,
"It wasn't me."
I hate it when
I did not do that. Okay, no worries. You're not responsible for that, sir. We're going to cancel the card and we're going to send you out a new one. You should have it in the next 17 to 20 business days, which is, of course, like it's a month.
Do you guys usually call your bank before you go out of town? Like, let them know, hey,
I can do it on my app now sometimes. They can say, like, travel advisory.
Because I'll get calls like, "Hey, are you in Las Vegas? Because there was a big charge." I'm like, "Yeah, that's me. It's all good. It's okay."
Yeah, the thing I don't like is when they immediately reject the order. Like if you're at, you're in Vegas or something and you swipe for dinner and then they your card was rejected.
Like, what the?
You go to your phone, you see the notification, you're like, hang on. Yes, this was me, moron. And then you send it back and run it again. It's a terrifying feeling.
I mean, dude, I even hate it. I'm looking at my card right now. Mine expires January of 26. And that means, like, I'm going to have to get a new card. Like, every 3 years or whatever, your card expires. You're like,
all the stuff that alone, that's attached to it.
You still have to do the same thing as if you lost it. You're like, oh, my God.
Have either of you ever experienced where you went to, like, a restaurant for a meal, and for whatever reason at the end, you were unable to pay for the meal?
Like
you... Your card was declined unexpectedly, and you didn't have any cash. You were like unable to pay for the meal.
Why would I go to dinner if I couldn't pay?
Well, no. You thought you were good.
I was like overdrawn or something,
Or for whatever, or just for no reason whatsoever. The card just isn't working, and you don't have any other means to pay for it. Nowadays, there's like apps and stuff. It'd be hard not to.
Yeah, but you could
at
Apple
least when
pay.
We were growing up. You know, you didn't realize. Oh, I thought I had $40 in cash, and now I only have 20. I don't have enough to cover this. That ever happened to you?
Never.
Never. No. I don't think it's happened to me either.
Now, the old go wash dishes.
Yeah, the old TV show bit. Oh, you got to go wash dishes, then.
If I could go to a nice restaurant and eat dinner, I'd wash dishes so that I didn't have to pay.
Oh, for sure. For what nice restaurants cost nowadays?
I love this job. This is my favorite job I've ever had. My second favorite job might have been washing dishes in a restaurant. I had the time of my life. Truly. No one bothered me. I had the music cranked.
Back of the house staff.
Back of the
usually
house.
Pretty good crew.
Cranked as loud as it could go. And I just mechanical. I was 17 years old or whatever. Like, it wasn't the worst gig I ever had.
Now, were you just kind of rinsing them and putting them in a dishwasher?
Yeah,
or did you have to, like, clean them completely?
You had to get the
completely?
Stuff off them, throw them in the thing, slide it in.
No.
And they start to pile up, and you start jamming the ramp. You'd spray the ramekin, and it would splash up and hit you in the face. That was not my favorite, but.
Did you ever eat food off a plate?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
100%.
Yeah. Uneaten food sure from an unknown restaurant diner.
Not unknown. Well, from the diner, yeah. Yeah.
From the dining room.
Not an unknown restaurant.
No, but from the, they could have done anything to that plate.
I remember working at a restaurant and, like, bringing some dishes back to the dishwashing area.
Yeah,
and, like, guy would just pick something right off the plate and start eating. I'm like,
Well, what do you think they're doing? They're not sprinkling pubic hair on it or something at the day. Hey, I'm going to send this back. Let me get
it. Still gross.
But don't you wonder why they didn't eat it?
Was something wrong with it?
He's
full.
Yeah, most of the time, but every once in a while, it's like, I didn't eat this because there was something gross about it, or there was something.
It was a nice restaurant.
I accidentally put sugar instead of salt on it when I was.
No, it was a nice restaurant.
Okay.
Yeah. This is like a fine dining establishment.
Right.
A steak or something. You're like, oh, that's good. A piece of bread. Piece of bread untouched. You know, on the plate, you're like, I'll eat that. Starving.
Did you get to have, like, it was a nice restaurant, so did you get, like, family meal beforehand?
Yeah, you get the discount, you get the shift meal, and most importantly, illegal shift cocktails and all of that, and there's girls there. It was not the worst gig of my life. I didn't make a lot of money.
What was this place called?
Cafe di Roma.
Cafe di Roma? Italian, or?
Di Roma, yes. Cafe di Roma. Mm-hmm. Fine dining. I eventually worked my way up to waiter, where I did not know what I was doing. Dropped trays and pushed corks down in very expensive bottles of wine. That was not my favorite.
Oh, the worst.
All right. We got the manager, Mike Schilt, joining us next on a Friar Friday. The manager's report. The Dodgers are in town. Should be a good conversation. Do not go anywhere. One more hour of Benowitz left.
I know exactly where to start.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Good. Skipper.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.